Talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Welcome to Defiant Hustle Radio. Tonight, a beautiful night. I'm in the studio here at Lewis Street and Mason Street in Greenwich, Connecticut. And I have, of course, at the controls here, not that I have him here, but the wonderful Bob Small.
I'm captured.
He's captured. Yeah, he was being held hostage here until late at night. And in just a moment, I'm going to introduce my incredible guest that I'm so psyched to have. But first, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a theme I saw coming up with my clients this week. Now, for those of you who do know my business, Defiant Hustle Business Solutions, I work with professionals. I work with executives and I work with businesses. I formed the business to integrate my background as a chief financial officer in the private equity world, as a CPA prior to that with Ernst & Young, with my really deep, deep understanding of personal development. And I did notice a theme. There was a lot of people reaching out to me this week in distress. There was something that happened that was either related to one woman who's in a relationship, and I guess her partner was getting a little confused, and then there was another woman who's just moved, and she's got a lot on her plate. And then there was another client who started a small business, and it's not taking off. He's maybe underestimated how much time it would take for it to really take off. And so I was giving people a lesson in something about our ability to respond. When I named the business Defy and Hustle, it was defy, meaning you have to really be able to stand and be courageous when you're stepping forward in life and overcome some of the fear that we've been conditioned to. But really overcome, defy some of those fears that society either projects onto us or that we have very much embedded into us so that we can step out and handle situations that come to us. So it's defying our own fears and apprehensions and limiting beliefs and also hustling. Now, hustling to me means your ability to handle the situations that come to you in the moment they come to you by trusting yourself. You're an adult now. You're not going to be able to go through life just, you know, winging it. So really you have to learn to trust yourself in the moment and not get afraid of the future and what might be going wrong. Easier said than done. I've certainly gotten my lessons in this. I still do, but the reason I go out to help other people is because I really work very hard over the years to develop some ability to stand in my center. We are all around the globe, around the country, around Greenwich, learning to stand in our center despite some of the chaos that may be going on around us personally and culturally. And this is centeredness, folks, centeredness, our ability to be responsible, our ability to respond, response able, our ability to respond to situations by staying present and really handling them the way we know how, instead of our reactiveness, which can result in us going into old stories that really are outdated, that are no longer serving us, that are self-defeating patterns. So we get reactive to situations. We start blaming other parties around us for the situations instead of taking responsibility for the only thing we have, which is ourselves. So I'm going to end this little diatribe, or it's not a diatribe, it was just me, but with this piece of advice. This week, I would like you, as situations come along that trigger you, I would like you to start to stand in your center. And to the extent that you get triggered and thrown off, I want one thought to come back to your mind, which is, I have the responsibility to stay centered and handle my own self. Not everybody else. I'm not blaming anybody else. I am going to be centered. Mm-hmm. And my guest who's in the studio, who I'm absolutely honored and thrilled to have, is nodding his head.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so I have the graphic artist, the very talented and now much sought after, Antonio Munoz, in the studio with me. So welcome, Antonio. Thanks for being here with me today.
Thank you, Noreen, for having me. I'm thrilled to be here with you. And let's talk about my work. I would love to people to know what I do.
Okay, so Antonio, now I think I first started to see your work online when I was posting, because I've had on different artists, Joseph Dermody, and I've had on different artists now.
Yeah.
And then I met you, out on the streets, would have it, in the streets here in Greenwich. And so you, for our listeners, you are a visual artist, a graphic artist?
I'm a graphic artist. I'm a visual artist. And my professional background was art direction, advertising, a brand. But I also designed for many years surfaces for textile. And I have a couple of reps. I had a couple of reps in the city. And I did high-end fashion collections of designs, as well as interiors that will be aimed at to those industries. So I've always loved pattern. I'm like enamored with color, with the rhythm of pattern. There's something so exciting and soothing in the repetition, in the way the color speaks to the other color next to it, the amount, the neutrals, the brights. So a few years ago, when the economy was all crumbling down, as you all remember, everything was shifting.
When, in 2008?
Eight, correct.
2008, all right. So definitely the economy was crashing.
So many other events happening in my life that I don't want to go right now into those.
Yeah, we'll go back.
But basically, I was figuring it out, what can I do with my designs? And start adjusting them to a different type of industry or product. So I always love interior design. If I had not been a graphic designer, I probably would have been an interior designer. Love it.
Okay.
Get all the magazines and everything. And I kept seeing these large pieces. Like, I would go to high-end interior design shops.
Where are you? Take. You're in New York City?
I am living in Ridgefield.
But at this time, you were living in Ridgefield?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm living in Ridgefield. I was married. I'm divorced now.
Okay.
And so I would go to a lot of interior design shops, New Greenwich, Westport, et cetera, Ridgefield, and I would see this large format photograph, very contemporary, presented on plexiglass.
Uh-huh.
And I just love that, very simple, very clean. The plexiglass would basically hang flat against the wall. I just love it. And I'm starting to think, I need to do a kind of work that I can present in that same fashion. So I started to silhouette children.
Silhouette children.
Yes.
What does that mean? I started to silhouette children.
Yeah. Well, I basically brought, the Victorian art of silhouetting.
Okay.
Which is, as you remember, our grandparents or our parents would buy those small black silhouettes of ourselves. Tiny. They were like a little memento. So
your profile.
So basically I decided I'm going to do a focal point full of excitement, life, yet with the sentimental value of the silhouette. But I wanted to create something for an interior, something with impact, something that would captivate someone, that would give someone space, an element of the unexpected, of a surprise, of a pop of color with my child or my pet.
Right.
So I silhouetted the daughter of a friend, and I made it 30 by 45 on acrylic. And I filled the silhouette with gorgeous patterns. and color stories.
So, because we're on the radio and we're talking about art, first of all, people can see your artwork at www.antoniommstudio.com.
Yeah, www.antoniommstudio.com.
Okay, so you can see the artwork there, but so that people can get if you're going to silhouette my daughter, for example, I don't have one, but let's say you did.
Yeah.
What would that entail?
Yeah. Well, so we make an appointment. I come over. I love to check your space to see if I can work certain themes in my design, certain palette, certain color story. I meet your daughter. We decide how to style her hair.
Okay.
For the piece.
Okay.
We do a ponytail or we do a chignon.
Oh, I've seen this with the ponytails.
We just like find the best way to showcase her. And then I photograph her.
I profile
and then I render it. I work in Vector. I work in Illustrator. So it's the same program used for logos.
Okay.
For really high-end renderings of... And the good thing about... Vector is that I can enlarge it. I can make a billboard and it'll never lose the resolution.
Okay.
It's always as sharp. So I silhouette the girl or the boy. And that's the first step is rendering them and make sure that I capture every nuance, every about their faces, the scale, their nose. I mean, I love profiles. I love faces because it's the warrior mask. I once read, the face was not designed for us. Imagine the primitive man.
Uh-huh.
The only time he saw his face, he had to walk to a river or a piece of something of water and look the reflection. So now we have mirrors, but if you think about it, our faces were not designed for us.
They're designed for somebody
others
else
to see it
and get a perspective, a nonverbal perspective on what,
or a judgment, or a prejudice.
Right.
Or
well, I guess depending on who's looking at
exactly
it,
they can make,
and you can tell a lot by somebody's face and somebody's
profile. Or not. Or we might think we know a lot, or we might know a lot, but it's all very subjective.
Uh-huh.
So I love the face. I love the peaks and the valleys, the noses, the jawlines, the lips, the scale, the forehead. I mean, I just love it.
Okay.
And I love to bring that out in a very celebratory fashion. With patterns, with colors. Sometimes I deconstruct patterns. Sometimes I do, and that depending on the space where they'll be showcased.
Okay, so where might it be? Now, there's a lot of very, well, I called it the rich and famous on my site, but you're being sought after now by people, let's say, in the back country. Well, all around Fairfield County.
Yeah, Fairfield County. I'm currently in three retail spaces. This year, up until last year, I was basically working with interior designers.
Okay.
I was like the best kept secret of some interior designers that would be bringing in to their clients.
Right.
But this year, I really went out full throttle.
Okay, good.
On my own and created a much stronger social media representation. And I visited, I got a connection with... the team of designers at Schwartz Design Showroom.
Schwartz Design Showroom.
In Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay.
And there's also another one in Metuchen, New Jersey. So I brought in a few pieces. This is a showroom with the most delicious interior design items that there can ever be made.
Okay.
I mean, they have access to everything. This it caters to a really...
Where is it?
It's, that section in Stamford with all the showrooms and our galleries are...
closer to the water?
Closer to the water.
On the south side of the...
Correct.
Okay, all right. Schwartz, I have to check this out.
So Schwartz, you have to be a designer, though.
Oh,
or you have to go... it is for the trade only. But you can, if you have an interior designer friend, just go with your friend.
Okay.
And I get to do business with a lot of interior designers.
Okay.
And people that are working with them.
And also you, I know that people will definitely know Darien Sports.
Yeah. And so after I started working with Schwartz Design Showroom, Through another friendship, I reached out to one of the buyers at Darien Sports Shop, and she just loved the concept. She thought that it was it's just unique. It's really a one-of-a-kind piece. I call them, it's a celebration of somebody's face.
It's great for children. It's children.
Pets.
There's a great picture. Well, definitely on my Instagram, if you want to look, we have a picture of the terrier, which I love that
one. Yeah, that's a current terrier.
And there's some great silhouettes for pets. There's great silhouettes for children. So if you have, it shows an example of
couples.
A family that had three children, mm-hmm. and so they have three different silhouettes in one.
They look beautiful as a grouping.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a big wall and you just want to bring in something with a sentimental value.
It's bold.
It's bold. It's exciting.
It's modern. It's dynamic.
And the presentation is really crisp and contemporary.
Right.
And I think it's a great addition to bring a sense of playfulness into your space.
In kids' rooms mm-hmm. as well. And then the adults.
Yeah, and the adults, I crop the adults differently. For the kids, I love to capture the entire head. For example, the girls with their ponytails or the boys with the texture in the hair. It's something very sweet about it. Same with the teenagers. But for the grown-ups, I love to bring an element of sensuality. And I love to do a real close-up of just the face, just this. I don't even know. I wish there was a camera.
just the profile. Well, you did a piece for me.
Yes, yes.
That will be in my office up at the top of at 6 West Putnam. My office is at the top of Greenwich Avenue. It hasn't arrived yet, but you took a profile picture of me. And, which I don't always allow people to do, but I let you do it this time. It came out stunning from what I can see before the actual acrylic shows up. And you put it, you called me back and you said, wait, I want, because of the work you do, helping people to understand not only their businesses, but the internal aspects, the personal development aspect and the blocks, that you had, you took the profile of me and placed it against the profile of me.
Mm-hmm.
And you put two different, well, you can describe it. You put two different patterns to represent the kind of work I do.
The moment that you agreed to have that piece made for your office, I was thrilled. And initially, I kept thinking of, okay, which patterns I'm going to use, what kind of feel. And the name Defy and Hustle, I don't know, gave me a sense of I need to show Noreen this dress as totally fearlessness, because it's one of the main impediments, I think, for the human race is fear.
It's fear, definitely.
So I really wanted that aspect to come across, a chaos of pattern, of deconstructed patterns, chaotic, but it's beautiful and it's full of possibilities. And I wanted to do that. So once I captured the palette, I just took off. But then I started to think the space that you have is a more horizontal space. So I said, why don't I do a mirror take on the Noreen's silhouette? And it's going to have a great narrative in relation to the kind of work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So the significance came in you looking into yourself.
Yeah, looking at oneself instead of projecting or looking
instead
at everybody else for a change.
Right.
To really spend a little time with yourself and understand.
And own it. Own
it,
whatever is there. And I mean the colors and the different patterns that I chose, both chaotic, but both full of rhythm and sensuality and African drums and violins from Vivaldi and whatever other references out there.
Oh my God.
I just love. I don't know if you know the meaning of the word pastiche.
Pastiche.
Pastiche is like an art term when pieces that are a combination of everything. It's like time periods, a reference. It's a pastiche, but it's a beautiful pastiche full of life.
Uh-huh.
I actually call my work pieces of joie de vivre.
Mm-hmm. Good. Now, you?
Oh, can I mention the other place that my work is available at?
Yes.
Okay, so
I would like to, of course.
Okay, so Schwartz Design Showroom in Stamford and Metuchen, New Jersey. Darien Sports Shop. I am in the gift in the gift department, where they have like the home gift and gift. I'm also at a store called Wave in New Canaan. Wave in New Canaan, and also at a gallery, an art gallery in Dorset, Vermont.
Sorry, we have the windows open because it's hot in the studio. But
so an art gallery in Dorset, Vermont, which is a lovely, lovely town in south west Vermont. And I lost track of where I was going after you.
Okay. Okay. And then, of course, it's www.antoniomstudio.com.
www.antoniomstudio.com. Or you can follow me on my Instagram, which is Antonio M Studio.
Okay.
By the way, that accent is Ecuadorian. I'm Spanish.
Yes, well, that's where we were going next. Do you want to go to a commercial, Bob? Okay. You know what, folks? We're here with the more and more sought after Antonio Munoz. Sorry, I have to mutilate
it's
all my
fine.
Guest name. I know, and they always tell me it's fine. And this is Noreen Ehrlich, and this is Defy and Hustle Radio. We'll be right back.
We're looking at a 30-minute ride now on the northbound Merritt Parkway from Greenwich up to Norwalk. It's going to take about a half hour. Northbound side of the Connecticut Turnpike.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly clear for tonight. Chilly, lows 40 to 45. Tomorrow, sunny, highs 65 to 70. Clear skies, upper 40s tomorrow night, and Friday, sunny, warmer, highs getting up into the mid-70s. Find your boating fun at the Progressive Insurance Norwalk Boat Show. Shop hundreds of boats and the latest marine gear. That's tomorrow through Sunday. Details at boatshownorwalk.com. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably uplevel your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173.
Hi, everybody. This is Noreen Ehrlich, and welcome back to Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm in the studio tonight with my honored guest, the graphic artist, Antonio Munoz.
Hello, hello.
And we were just talking during the break because Bob, who's at the controls tonight, was talking about silhouettes being old silhouettes. Mm-hmm. Old silhouettes were essentially black and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, black silhouette, a white background, and that was the way it was done.
Yeah. And that was the way
And
they were small. So basically,
yeah, that's right. The other thing,
my standard size is 24 inches by 36 inches.
Okay.
So imagine if you have three or four children, it creates a beautiful gallery to have a grouping of the four silhouettes. My next size up is 30 by 45, which in case if you have just one child and you really want that focal point, do a 30 by 45. So this after the silhouette is rendered, the patterns go within the silhouette. So the silhouette is animated by pattern, by color, and it's presented face-mounted on plexiglass. And all my pieces are manufactured in Connecticut using archival materials of the utmost quality. I use the very thick plexiglass sheath, not mm-hmm. the thin one. So mm-hmm. it's really a luxury item. Each piece is a beautiful luxury item.
Color, boldness,
yes,
modernity. This is not the silhouette of old. This is quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite. This is really a reinvention. This is something that is full of exuberance, and it's something that I love doing. So I'm sure the piece carries that. And it's about excitement. It's really a celebration of the faces that you love.
Right. Okay. Well, let's. I want to go into your life because you've lived a very interesting life. You were born in Ecuador.
I was born in Guayaquil, Ecuador, right on the coast. Very hot and muggy all year long.
Okay. And you were how many kids were in your family?
Well, my father was a representative from my province, so he was in politics. They had six. Sister. I have six sisters.
You have six sisters?
And I am the only boy and the youngest.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And a big age difference.
Between, so how yeah. much?
My older sister is 24 years older.
Oh, my God.
And my youngest sister is 12 years older.
Your sister is 12 years older?
My youngest sister.
Oh, she's younger than you. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, no.
You're the youngest. She's 12 years
older. I'm
than
sorry.
You are.
Yes.
Oh wow! So you were and you were a mistake. they were like,
I
oh
don't
boy,
know.
Guess what just happened?
I guess I was like their last try. This is you have to understand. 1960s South America is a very kind of a macho. You know, and my father is a politician, and his friends used to like tease him how he cannot make a boy.
Oh.
He's only making girls, mm-hmm. and so. That is the reason why when I was born, everybody remembers exactly the time. Because it was at first when my mother was at the hospital and the little light got on that says boy in the waiting room. My father thought they were just joking him, like making a joke. Oh, please. Yeah. Let me see the girl. And it was me. So all my sisters were taken out of their schools. It was a big event. It was paper because this politician finally has a boy.
Okay, now you're making a face. So why are you making a face?
So my father passed when I was 6 years old.
Okay.
So I was raised by my mother, a very strong woman.
Okay.
And six sisters, also very strong women.
Right.
I'm gay.
Okay.
So that's the face that I made before, like all this, you know, waiting for the boy.
The
so
it's macho just, boy.
Exactly, exactly. And it's just all these ironies of life.
Right.
So interesting.
Were you, okay, did people know you were gay?
Well, yes, I'm sure. My belief is that the family knows. It's
yes.
just that they'd rather not talk about it.
So nobody was, did
no.
anybody say to you?
No, it was
you know,
like,
Antonio,
but I knew that all the signals that I was receiving is that it's something bad, something
okay.
wrong. There's something wrong with me. So I hid, but very soon after, you know, when I embraced sexuality, late teens, I knew that I had to leave.
How can I just ask you, so at what point in time did you start to recognize that you were going to be persecuted, for example?
Oh, from the beginning. I mean, you know it because of what the way
you're
people.
You're six or you're 10 or.
Six, seven, 10. You know, so all the signals that you receive.
Okay. That there's just nobody in
are telling you that you are. There's something wrong with you.
Was there anybody you were able to confide in?
Nobody.
Nobody. So why?
Eventually, with you know, you meet other gay, but it's all very. And again, this is in the 80s. This is AIDS time.
AIDS time.
This is also a lot of stigma, and so it was difficult a lot of the some friends of mine of my same generation that were also gay ended up marrying and then getting divorced and coming out of the closet 20, 30 years later.
Yes, I still think that's happening in many cases.
So I decided not to do that. That's not who I'm going to do.
So how
what
old were
– 25 when
you
I came.
You were 25 when you came to the States. And where did you come to?
Well, I came to San Francisco first, then New York, then Connecticut, and decided to go back to school again and became – I got a degree in graphic design that I later used working in advertising, textile, packaging, all sorts of things.
But how did you – coming back to – so you leave Ecuador.
Yeah.
Was anybody with you?
No, I came on my own. I have friends here.
Okay, so you're 25 years old. You leave. Was your family disappointed to see you go?
I don't even know what happened. I mean, I think in many ways they were relieved.
They were, okay.
Because once I came to America, I wrote them all a letter coming out.
Okay.
So I'm sure they just realized that this is what I needed to do.
Are you still in touch with your family
members? I am.
Very much so.
Yeah,
do you go back to Ecuador?
I went twice last year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all's good. And Ecuador, all's well.
All is well. And Ecuador has also been through a big transformation regarding gay rights and acceptance. And there's more fluidity. Mm-hmm. There's not anymore that sense of taboo of not unspoken or things like that. So I this last time that I went, I felt very comfortable.
Good.
And actually, Ecuador just recently legalized same-sex marriages.
Oh, very. So they've come a very long way.
They've come a long way. So, yeah.
All right. So now you're in New York. You're in New York City.
I'm in Connecticut, New York. Yeah.
Well, I'm not. When I say now, meaning you came, you said you went to San Francisco,
New York, then Connecticut. But New York, it was very briefly, maybe like 8 months. I could not live in New York.
So what was in Connecticut?
Family, friends.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then you were working in.
Yeah. And then I started. I applied for my green card.
Okay.
While I was at school.
Okay.
And then I got my my green card, and 5 years later I became a citizen in 99.
In 99. Okay.
And I was working for corporate America up until I had a very, very difficult health situation that started in 2004, yeah.
You had a difficult health situation.
Very difficult. Basically, out of nowhere, one day I started to itch.
Okay. So now were you married at the time?
No, but I had just met the man that I eventually married.
Okay.
So we were just dating for the second year.
All right. And so you start to itch. All right.
Out of nowhere. So basically, that became worse and worse and strong and like very, very hard to live with. And I visited every specialist. Everything, it went from bug beds, it went from bed bugs. And I lived like that for 4 years. I could not work. It was just a very, very difficult time in my life.
Did the doctor say to you that they can't figure out anything and this must be psychological?
Exactly. That's basically what they ended up saying, this specialist, that there's nothing in your blood and your urine, you know, weekly test. So it might be something that you are imagining that is happening in your brain.
But even if you are imagining it, it's real because it's still making you itch.
Yeah.
So
I, on that occasion, for the first time, I used these terms. And I said to my doctor, if you don't figure this out, I might not be here next weekend.
And so, okay, so a doctor... Oh, so really? So you were ready to...
I could not live that way.
Were you honestly... Did you say that to get his attention? Excuse me.
I don't think I would have been able, just because the way I am, I'm always looking for the carnival no matter what. But I needed to get his attention.
Was something going on in your life that there was nothing you were that when you look back now that you were repressing? That
nothing. It was just actually this age was causing me all this trouble.
And how old were you at this time?
I was in my late. I'll say I'm 54. I was like 42, 43.
You were 42, so not that long ago, 12 years ago.
So I, so when I said that, so the doctor basically said, you know, we've done everything, x-rays, everything, blood tests, urine, everything. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that I can do at this point, but there's, I can just, you know, do a little fib, in, you know, for the insurance to cover it and... Uh-huh. I'm not saying any names.
Not here. That you did that. Okay. Hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically speaking. and that's where they found the tumor. They did a CAT scan.
They found a tumor.
And they found the tumor on my thymus, the lymph node.
Okay.
And the thymus is hiding behind my rib cage, and it was not showing in my x-rays. So I went into biopsy right away, and I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Hodgkin's lymphoma. And how does that represent itself?
Okay, this is another very peculiar with the kind of my situation. Hodgkin's lymphoma, the lymph nodes flare up.
Okay.
It's one of the first signs on the neck, on your armpit, on your groin. The lymph nodes flare up, and that's why we got to test him for this. Uh-huh. In my case, they were all normal. And the only one that was actually growing, was hiding behind my rib cage.
So, so the doctors, what happened? They took care of it or?
Chemotherapy.
Chemotherapy. So you underwent chemotherapy, mm-hmm. and you're married at this point or?
I finished chemotherapy in 2010, uh-huh. January.
Okay.
And then I got married 2 years later.
All right. So you were recovered. You got your energy back.
Yep, yep.
And you get married. This is somebody you met here in Connecticut?
I met him in Connecticut. I met him in 2003.
So then you're working, and when I was talking to you when we met, you were very enthusiastic about horoscopes because I think
I love astrology.
You love astrology.
Yeah.
So how did you get in? Were you always a seeker, or did this?
Well, I have to
Hodgkin's
say,
make you look at yourself differently.
When I look back after I was healed and my mind was in a quieter place. I look at the whole picture and came to the conclusion that I was meant to have gone through that. And that's why they couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. That's why it was hiding, because it needed to take its course. And I firmly believe that that was the case. And during those 4 years that I lived that ordeal, uh-huh. I searched. Before that, and I look at myself, before that, I was like a headless chicken running in circles, trying to, a ball of fear and desire, like most of humanity, I guess, that is not observing themselves. Uh-huh. So during those 4 years, I became somebody else.
So you feel like maybe you were more egotistical or something?
Absolutely.
Self-absorbed?
Fears. I was much easily plagued by fears, by pleasing, by...
What you call that face, that mask, you call it the warrior mask?
Yeah,
but that mask.
Oh my God, I had a repertoire of masks.
All right.
I could have gone to Venice and wear one mask every night.
Uh-huh. Well,
no, I mean, I wasn't really connected to me.
Uh-huh.
That came during those 4 years. I searched.
So what did you find?
Yeah, well, I became fascinated by energy and crystals.
Okay.
And I still work with them.
Uh-huh.
I remember I started working on my chakras.
Okay.
Writing, and I started to write a lot.
Right.
I was writing letters to myself, to my 5-year-old, to my 6-year-old, what I want to say to him. That healed me a lot. Then I started to read Eckhart Tolle, which I read twice.
Eckhart Tolle. He's phenomenal. The Power of Now.
Yeah, and the Power of Now and the New Earth.
Yes. That is a transformation. It's not something you even read. It's something that you take a sentence or two, and if it either resonates with you and creates some sort of shift, or you won't get it at all. It just doesn't.
Yes.
Right. So it really does wake you up if you're ready for that
it
kind
does.
Of transformation.
It does. I feel definitely. And if you're struggling, I think when one feels vulnerable and struggle is in the landscape, we are much more open to absorb these nuggets of wisdom.
Right. Life has us. We're either going to get it by being conscious and getting it, or we're going to get it through suffering,
yes.
which is the way most of us get it.
What most of us do it.
Uh-huh.
So, and then astrology, I just became fascinated. I had an astral chart done, and I love it. And I learned is that we are not really our sun sign, but we are a combination of our sun sign and the sign opposite across on the zodiac.
Okay, so this is where you and I met on the street.
So Noreen is a Capricorn, but she really is a Cancer. So she, at the end, Cancer is like her primal layer, and the Capricorn sits on top of the Cancer. I am a Scorpio, so it means that I am really a Taurus. And a Scorpio.
So what is this? So I'm a Capricorn.
Yes.
I'm born in January.
Yes.
And that when you're saying I'm a Cancer because it's my opposite
is
sign?
The exactly opposite to Capricorn is Cancer.
So whatever you have much of, you also have much of the opposite.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because the theory is your sign is calculated like you are standing on Earth,
uh-huh.
on the planet Earth.
Okay.
And when you were born, where the sun was
uh-huh.
in the constellation. Okay, so that determined that you were born a Capricorn.
Uh-huh.
But what happens if we leave the Earth and we go above the Earth and we look at the Earth from above, looking down,
uh-huh.
everything gets reversed.
Okay.
So your energy, once the reverse of Capricorn is Cancer.
And what is that?
it means that your soul came from Cancer.
Okay.
And as it enters the physical realm, then you are forced to integrate this opposite force, which is Capricorn.
So as a spirit, if you will, then that's not on the planet, then I'm a different... So I'm a... Oh, let's see. I'm a Cancer, like a cancerous type. Well, this makes
sense.
And
as you enter the
and
physical realm.
And when you come to the physical realm, which is the
through
Earth,
your mother's birth canal.
Uh-huh.
Then, and because of where the sun is.
You're developing this other aspect
you
of
you are.
Yourself.
You are. It's just you. So you're both. And they are opposite forces. So our mission here on this world is to learn to consolidate both.
Is to consolidate both.
Both. Yeah.
And so, what do people... I lived in India where even today they still have arranged marriages. I lived there for a little while. My ex-husband, my former spouse, you're supposed to say former spouse, we're still friends, but he is Indian. So I lived over there with him for a little while, for 2.5 years. And in India, they still look at the charts before they have... They still have arranged marriages, or even if it's not arranged, the parents or the two people that are marrying, they compare your charts to see if you're compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did get a lot of understanding of some of the astrology. Maybe they don't look at it exactly as we might here in the States, but anyway, there's a firm belief in India, which is a more Eastern culture, that this is truth.
Yes.
But... So you believe it?
I think there's a
lot
of...
Or do you think that it's been taken too far and it's a little too...
I do not live my life ruled by that.
Okay.
To me, it's just accessing another pocket of information that I may use or not, but I'm aware it's there. But I don't live my life ruled by the stars.
Okay.
No, I don't think you can, because this is a... So many aspects, so many variables. So, but it's good to know this information. I think it helps us understand ourselves a bit better, even your children.
Uh-huh.
because at such a young age, sometimes like all this different mixed signaling. And so when I talk to my friends with young children, I always like to tell them about the opposite. Because
what's the opposite of Pisces? Because that's what Bob is.
How do you know that?
Oh, I know that because we had
it's a
back
Virgo.
In
it's Virgo.
I know Virgos. Oh. They're very detail-oriented.
Very detailed. Virgo is very organized. Virgo wants to put everything in a little shelf with a label. And Pisces is the opposite.
Completely opposite.
They're very dreamy.
Pisces wants to fall. Pisces is in love with love. Uh-huh. So Pisces love falling in love, not because of the person, just because they love falling in love.
Well, that's what happened to my ex-husband, so that explains it. So, and just out of the, what your chart starts to tell you at different points in your life,
yeah,
what will probably be happening to you, right? It sets up, well, in India they used to call it some element of destiny.
Yeah. If we have an astral chart done, uh-huh. Yes, you can kind of hear about what's coming, things like that. But the kind of astrology that I prefer is the very individual, personal. It's not much about predictions.
Right.
For me, it's much more understanding my impulses, my primal impulses, fear, my syrup.
Do you consider yourself somebody who is fearful?
I was, but fear for me serve as fuel.
What do you want to do with your business going forward? So now you're an artist.
Yes.
But it also takes, there's a lot of talented people out there, mm-hmm. correct? But it also takes a certain amount of hustle or fortitude,
yeah.
business skills.
Yes.
How do you value your products? Like when you first started to make your designs,
yeah.
did you know where to start to even, where to charge, what to charge for them?
Well, with advice, you know, I would just seek advice, people in the industry. What do they think about this? And there's always people that you trust. And so my advice for people starting a new idea, a new business, don't just go around asking everybody because it's just going to confuse you. And not everybody has the same, you know, that you have. So maybe 2-3 people, that's all you need.
I can be one of them. I can definitely help people to value. I don't always know about artwork, but there's...
But people have... You don't have to really be so deep in a specific field.
Uh-huh.
It's just really smarts or a sense of the industry. In this case, would be interiors, like how much this type of work costs that I can price my own work. So it's really a process. And also as you are as I was starting, and then as doors keep opening and your work gets more visibility, more prominence, then obviously the demand is going to increase, and then you're able to, you know, choose the projects or charge a little bit more.
Right. There's a point where with awareness, mm-hmm. that you start to outgrow a certain level and people start to come after you. At first, there's
yeah.
a certain amount of pursuit on your
yeah.
end, but at some point,
you
become full, and then people have to come to you, and you can start yeah. to dictate a price at a
yeah. And initially, the way that I did it, I work with interior designers,
uh-huh.
so. To me, that was a great validation
uh-huh.
because these are professionals in that field. They know their ins and outs. They know every product that's out there that is beautiful, that is this and that, unique and exclusive. So having them use my work for mm-hmm. their very expensive interiors, beautiful interiors,
mm-hmm.
it meant a validation.
Okay, we only have a few more minutes.
Yeah.
I have this question for you. And I'm, for folks who are listening, we're talking to Antonio Munoz.
Can I give my number?
And what's that?
Can I give my phone number?
You can give.
Okay.
He's you're an acrylic. I wanted to call you an acrylic graphic artist because that's one.
Well, the acrylic is the presentation. I would just call me a visual artist.
A visual artist.
Yeah, I do customized pieces for interiors.
Okay, and your number, you might as well give that. So yeah, my number is my last question.
My number is 203-918-1498. I am based in Norwalk, so if you would like to have a consultation, it's free. I can see if what would you like to do, and we can talk about prices and all that good stuff.
Do you go out and visit people's homes and I look
do.
At the spaces?
I do.
Okay, and so I want you to tell me this very honestly. Let's say we were going out a year from now, so let's say we're in September of 2020, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Tell me what, ideally, everything's gone great. What's going on with you?
I would love to, in addition to the silhouettes that I'm doing that are getting more and more popular, I would love to do work for hospitality. I also do these big panels on plexiglass with pattern design, oversized. They look terrific, and I've gotten a lot of really good input from New York City interior designers.
Okay.
Actually, one of an interior designer who was recently featured in Elle Decor.
Elle Decor.
He found me on Instagram and asked me to collaborate with him for a nonprofit event for designers.
Right.
So I gave him a piece. So things like that just give me a sense of I might be doing something good.
Validation.
Yes.
And everybody needs it.
Everybody needs it.
Everybody needs some validation.
And so I would love to be doing work in hospitality. Would love to be doing, I would love to be doing some celebrities. So please look out for me.
Why don't you, which celebrity do you think?
I just love, I don't know, children. Some beautiful, sweet kids that I would love to create their silhouettes.
Are there? There's a lot of people just in Fairfield County alone. Is there somebody there that you think you'd love to have represent your brand?
Well, I would love. What is the?
I'm good at association games. So okay. Give me some hints.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's 2 minutes.
Bedford. They just moved in Bedford.
They just moved to Bedford.
Blake Lively.
And her husband. Is she still out there? Are they still living in Bedford?
I believe so.
Okay, they didn't.
And it's either Bedford or North Salem.
No, they were living in Bedford.
Okay, but I would love to create Blake Lively on plexiglass with her husband, like both faces looking at each other, and create this magnificent piece for their home.
Why don't you just create it and reach out to them and put something together for them and see?
So if somebody knows Blake Lively, please tell
And there's them. A lot of other incredible people just in the town that we're sitting in Greenwich,
Absolutely.
Connecticut.
I would love to do, yeah, because, yeah, I mean, it's all about exposure and spreading the good work and the joie de vivre.
That's right, folks. So on that note, I hope everybody has a fantastic week, and this was my now new friend Antonio, and of course we have Bob here tonight, and it's a lovely day. It seems like it's going to be fall soon, so everybody enjoy your week, and I will be here next week, and that is it. Enjoy your night. This is Noreen Early.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Antonio and Bob signing off tonight from Defiant Hustle Radio. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Eyeing the border, rate rising. I'm Barbara Cusack. President Trump paid a visit to the border wall near San Diego today as he caps a 3-day trip out west.
One thing we haven't mentioned is technology. They're wired so that we will know if somebody's trying to break through, and you may want to discuss that a little bit, General.
Sir, there could be some merit in not discussing that.
Okay. I like that.
Iranian President Hassan Rouhani again denied responsibility for weekend attacks on oil installations in Saudi Arabia. In Jeddah, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo laid blame on Tehran.
This was an Iranian attack. The intelligence community has high confidence that these were not weapons that would have been in the possession of the Houthis.
A federal judge cited new evidence of potential terrorism sympathies in denying bail for a mechanic charged with sabotaging an American Airlines jetliner. Correspondent